You leave today, you're going to get another Let's Go card with some questions that you can pray through for the week. And because we want to all get together on the same page in the same mindset to accomplish something supernatural for God. Because the end product is you and I get to do something that not many people have the privilege to do. And that's build a tabernacle that will impact a community and the future ramifications of what God's going to do there is going to be rest on our shoulders. So that's why it's important that you and I be dedicated to the Lord. Because the truth is, you can build buildings all day long. And buildings are just buildings without the presence of God. And the presence of God doesn't come, doesn't happen without people dedicated to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, where two or three are gathered, his presence shows up. It's his presence is attached to his desire to liberate people, to change people's lives. And that's why you and I have to be dedicated to God. And that's what this message is about today. As a matter of fact, this is what I believe with all my heart. If you're not dedicated to God, your gifts to God can't be dedicated. And what you do for him can't be dedicated to him. It begins here in our heart. And unless our hearts are dedicated, you can give all day long to something, but it's just giving without a purpose. But when your heart is dedicated and God moves upon you to do something for his kingdom, now what you give is dedicated to God, and the end result is he will be glorified. And that is the process that God is leading me in, and I hope you'll walk with me. Hope you'll walk with me. Today we're going to talk about let's go. Let's go. First Chronicles chapter 26. So it's a strange passage of scripture, but it is so pertinent to where we are, where I am. And listen to what it says. First Chronicles chapter 26, verse 24. From the clan of Amram, Shedbeul was a descendant of Goshem, son of Moses, for he was the chief officer of the treasuries. That sounds pretty important to me. His relative, Eliezer and Rehabiah, you guys aren't laughing yet. Oh, thank you very much. Jashaiah, Joram, Zichri, and Shelomoth. Shelomoth and his relatives were in charge of the treasuries containing gifts that King David, the family leaders, and the generals and the captains of all the officers of the army had dedicated, that means to consecrate to dedicated to the Lord. These men dedicated some of the plunder they had gained in battle to maintain the house of the Lord. Shelomoth and his relatives also cared for the gifts dedicated to the Lord by Samuel the seer, Saul the son of Kish, and Abner the son of Ner, and Joab the son of Zeruiah. All the other dedicated gifts were in their care also. I hope you're sensing a common word there, dedicated, dedicated, dedicated. That means to be consecrated to God or to take something and consecrate it to God. That is so important because it talks about a devotion to God. You know, we talk a lot about lip service to God. You can say a lot of things, but when it comes down to it, the question is, are you really devoted? Are you really consecrated? Are you really dedicated to the purposes and plans of God? So this act of consecration means to be dedicated for sacred use. Oh. To be dedicated for sacred use. In the New Testament, Jesus said, "We're the light of the world." That's a sacred use for the kingdom of God. Because Jesus wants this world to know there's a God in heaven. Jesus wants the world to know that he is the Savior. And Jesus wants the world to know that they have access. And the only way that can happen is through devotion, dedication, and consecration. So that you and I become the light of the world. That's not meant to be hid on a bushel. Underneath a bushel. But it's to be seen. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "Men will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." Now, sometimes we are guilty of, "Well, I really don't want anybody to see or know what I'm doing because blah, blah, blah." And the truth of the matter is, I understand that because there is something about staying humble before the Lord. The truth is, people will always question your motives. The secret is managing your own heart. The secret is making sure your own heart is consecrated and dedicated to God. And what other people think of your actions don't really faze you. Because it's their problem, not yours. Now, it's not that you're going to be boastful and that you're going to be proud or arrogant. No, you know what happens through your life, through your dedication, is an act of his work in your heart and life. Therefore, you know it's to his glory what he does through your hands. The proverb says this: a good name is to be highly favored. Here's the other thing the proverb says: a man, a person, is measured by the praise they receive. Anybody ever thanked you for something? Anybody ever praised you for something? Oftentimes, people will come to me and say, "Pastor, that was a great message. Pastor, that was a great, that was this, that was that." They were just thanking me. This is what I've learned to do with that. Because this is how I interpret the Proverbs. A man is measured by the praise he sees, receives. I know God has done something in me that no other man could ever do. God has done something inside of me and given me the ability to do certain things that not everybody gets a chance to do. And I know it's the work of his hands. So when someone says to me, "Pastor, that was a great sermon," I know he worked through me and my praise goes to him. The measure of my life is my praise to him for what he's done through my life. Now you can twist that and make it all about you. And we're good at that, aren't we? And you have to battle that. But the act of dedication, the act of consecration, of setting things apart for God is important. I hope you've set your heart aside for God. That means you're sacred. These gifts that these gentlemen set aside for God were sacred to the Lord because they dedicated them to God. The plunder came from the enemy, but what the enemy had was taken, dedicated to God, and now for God's honor and glory. And it was sacred. We live in a world where they're deconstructing sacred things. I don't know if you know it or noticed much, but life is becoming less and less sacred. You and I ought to cherish life. Because life is sacred. What makes life sacred? Because he created. He breathed life into man. He created Adam and Eve after his own image. There's something about the image of God that's stamped in your life. And therefore, you are sacred. And that's why God sent his son to die for you, to redeem you, because he cherishes you, because you are sacred. And you and I, as believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are dedicated to the glory of God, need to understand that all life is sacred. We cherish life. Here's another thing. Work is sacred. Work is sacred. The ability to provide, the ability to go out and cherish and honor and bless other people and encourage other people, the ability to contribute to other people's lives. Work is sacred. We're losing that. People are sacred. Well, Pastor Larry, they don't look like me. It doesn't matter if they look like you. They're created in the image of God. People are sacred, and we got to treat people with respect and kindness and be merciful to people. Why? Because they're sacred. It's not about how they treat you. Even the world treats people nice that are nice to them. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Why? Because people are sacred. People are sacred. Marriage is sacred. Thank God for marriage. In our world, we're trying to deconstruct marriage. But marriage is an institution created by God way back in the garden. It's not good for man to be alone. And you say, well, you know, Jesus didn't say much about it. Yes, he did. He confirmed the very act of marriage in his life with the teaching. Sex is sacred. Somebody say amen. Sex is sacred. And it's a beautiful thing that God created. And when we lose its sacredness, that's why the writer of Hebrews says the marriage bed is undefiled. It's a sacred place. It's a beautiful thing. I'll tell you another thing that's wonderfully sacred, and that's the gathering of God's people together. It's a sacred thing to be able to gather together in worship to God, hallelujah, with brothers and sisters in the Lord. It is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to gather together and recognize who we belong to and recognize that we're not walking alone and recognize that we have a common goal in life to glorify him who hath redeemed us. I'm telling you, the gathering of God's people is sacred. Beautiful. And you don't get any of this sacredness unless it's dedicated, consecrated to God. And when we got married, Linda handed the pastor a list of scriptures that made him nervous. We probably had more scriptures in our marriage ceremony because Linda gets, this is what I want read. He goes, why? Because marriage, we wanted to dedicate it to God, to make the foundation of it on his authority, not our whims. The word of God is sacred. Aren't you glad for the word of the Lord? I mean, this is written, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, as God, the Holy Spirit moved upon men of old, and God wrote forth his truth. Why? Because he loves you. The word is a sign that you are significant in the heart of God. He wanted to communicate his truth to you. So he moved on some prophet, some apostle, by the power of the Holy Spirit to make sure you didn't miss his heart. Glory to God. Huh? I tell you another thing that's sacred, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The brooding of the Holy Spirit over his people. I mean, just as the Holy Spirit brooded over creation and began to create some things, when the Holy Spirit starts brooding over the congregation, the people of God, things start happening. The power of God starts showing up. Supernatural transformation begins to show up in people's lives. A supernatural consecration grips the heart of God's people, and supernatural things happen, not only in the gathering, but out in the streets. Yeah. You see, where people are gathered to worship, to hear the word of the Lord, it's sacred. And what that building we gather in. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, David says this, I have worked hard to provide for the materials of the temple of the Lord, nearly 4,000 tons of gold, 40,000 tons of silver, and so much iron and bronze that it cannot be weighed. I have also gathered timber and stone for the walls, though you may not need to add, may you need to add more. You have a large number of skilled stonemasons and carpenters and craftsmen of every kind. You have expert goldsmiths and silversmiths and workers of bronze and iron. Now begin the work, and may the Lord be with you. You do the work. Here's what I've noticed in Scripture. Do you know what? God never told David, build a temple. Put it in his heart. He put it in his heart. He put it in his heart that God would have a house for his own. And God said, David, you can't build it because your hand's stained with blood, but your son will. And David couldn't build it, so he gathered all the stuff, consecrated all the stuff, dedicated all the stuff for the temple. And he makes this statement, I have worked hard to provide. Oh, that is awesome. Listen to what he says in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the Lord, the temple of the Lord, is finished correctly. Glory to God. Here's the sad thing. It took 7 years to build the temple from Solomon. And they had this holy dedication. It was amazing. And then he started working on his own house. It took him 14 years to build it. Do you notice something in that? The priorities begin to shift. Before long, Solomon had his house full of concubines and wives. Listen, it's important that we maintain an integrity, a devotion, a consecration to God, and not be distracted by the things. You see, if you only pay attention to the external, you're going to mess up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But now you must be holy in everything you do. In what? Does that mean the radio station I'm listening to? Does that mean the TV I'm watching? Now, can we just kind of separate the everything a little bit? But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. Now what God is really saying is, be dedicated to me. Be consecrated to me. Honor me with your life. And in doing so, you won't have any regrets. Any regrets. In Psalm 15, verses 1 through 4, it says this. Who may worship in the sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? For those who lead blameless lives and do what is right speaking truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it... Man. You see, dedicated gifts come from a dedicated heart. And if your heart's not dedicated, the house you build. That's why Joshua says this, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Listen to these instructions that God gave Solomon through David. Listen. And 1 Chronicles 28, 9 and 10. And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. Oh, man. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. In verse 10, he says, take seriously, the Lord has chosen you to build the temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. There are four things that God tells Solomon to do. And I'm going to start with the last one. And the last one is be strong. You're not going to be strong in your own might. He's going to take the work of the Holy Spirit in you to maintain a spirit that is acceptable to God. If you're relying on your own strength and your own capacity, you're in trouble. Because listen, your emotions will lie to you. I don't say that again. Your emotions will lie to you. You know, like, nobody likes me. That's a lie. Nobody loves me. That's a lie. Right? God doesn't love me. That's a lie. Emotionally, you can feel all those things. Your emotions will lie to you. Trust the word of God. Be strong in the Lord. That's the first thing he tells him. Be strong in the Lord and do the work. In other words, it's not enough just to stand in the mirror and go, do something with what God has given you. Do the work. Your strength is just not for self-possession and self-glorification. Your strength is to do something for his glory. Now go. Do the work. What in your spiritual life needs to be strengthened? Your prayer life? Your Bible reading? Your sacred gatherings? What in your spiritual life needs to be strengthened? And then he says this. David says this. Learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. 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 Now, the danger of that is this. We think. Because we work on this level. We think, oh, I got to go back and sing what they sang. I got to go back and dress what they dressed. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about knowing God on a level that isn't about what you do, on a level that's about your heart being captivated by the presence and the love of God in an intimate way where you know that you know that you know. You just crawled up in the lap of your heavenly Father. That's what he's talking about. Know him intimately. Renew that love in your heart, in your life. The temptation of this generation is to burn down the past. Burn it all down. Nothing. Listen to me. All of that was stepping stones to where God's leading us. Don't listen to me. You use that for God's purpose to direct you to a place where that you can be intimate and know him like you've never known him before. Jesus came so that you could have access to the Holy of Holies. Come boldly before the throne of grace and learn to sit at the feet of Jesus and love him. And then he says this, worship and serve the Lord with all your whole heart and a willing mind. Now the question is, do I serve the Lord with my whole heart and a willing mind? You and I need to learn to examine our heart. Listen to what Psalm says in Psalm 26, verse 2. Put me on trial, Lord. Cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart. Whew. The fourth thing he says, if you seek him, you'll find him. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me to be determined to find and learn more about my God. In Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9, it says this, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked change their thoughts and banish their very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord and that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to your God and he will forgive you generously. Did you hear that? He's going to forgive you what? Generously. Now listen to me. I know a lot of people who claim to be generous, but the truth of the matter is they're pretty stingy. They give what they want to give. But God gave us his everything. His son. That's generosity. Amen? And when it comes to your sins, God is so generous, it cost him his son. Glory to God. Man. Dedication to God. I want you to go home and read 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It's David leading the way in giving. And I have it here, and it's a pretty long little thing, and I'm just telling you, David gave. He gave abundantly. He had gathered. Now it was time to give. And David says, I'm doing this out of my personal treasury. Then he says this, follow my example. Follow my example. And the scripture says, and many gave willingly. There's something that happens when God's people give joyfully. It creates something. And David was, the scripture says, David was filled with joy and rejoicing, and the fulfillment of joy captivated the heart of God's people. That's what happened. I'm telling you, God is interested in your dedication to him. Today, Elijah Zilke joins the staff of Freedom Church. Amen. Elijah, come down there. Amen. Amen. This is Elijah. And we're going to pray a prayer of dedication to him. Because he just graduated from school. This is a new season on his life. And this is one thing I've learned is that new seasons require new anointing. And this is a moment of dedication to him. And I'm going to ask a couple of people, Nick, Mary, and Dan, come our board, Julie, come on up here, and the Nisleys to come up here. We're going to lay hands on him. I want you to stand to your feet right now. And we're going to pray a prayer of dedication over Elijah right now as he begins life with us as he serves us, our children, and the kingdom of God here. I'm thankful for his life. Thank you, Perry, for coming. Would you just stretch your hands toward him right now? God, I thank you for Elijah, Lord. I thank you for an act of his surrender to the will of God, Lord. Today, Lord God, I pray a holy, holy, holy hand fall on him, Lord. Today, Lord God, I pray, oh God, that you hear his heart to be dedicated to the cause of the kingdom, Lord. That today, oh Lord, the anointing of your Holy Spirit for the season of his life would fall upon him, Lord. That today, oh God, would mark a new beginning, Lord. That today, Lord God, would make a new moment of consecration and dedication in his own heart and life, Lord. That you would help him to walk purely before you, Lord, and set aside the things that need to be set aside, Lord, and to walk holy under the canopy of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for Elijah right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Elijah right now. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a worship song right now. And maybe you're here this morning and you just sense there's a new, you need something new from heaven. Maybe you're going into a new season in your life. You guys just stand here. I'm going to ask you to pray for these people coming forward, okay? There's a new season in your life and you want a new anointing for that. Or maybe there's something in your life you just need to dedicate to God. I want to ask you as we worship, just come down here and let these people pray for you. Because God wants to anoint you for a new season in your life. I believe that. Let him do that. Let him do that in your life. Maybe there's an area you're struggling with. You just want to surrender it to God. Dedicate yourself anew to God. This is it right here.